We've got time for one last question this month, and this is from one of our younger listeners. 12-year-old Anthony Knapp has got in touch from Missouri, and he's wondering whether there might be life on Neptune. Now, it's certainly a blue planet, and it's often called an ice giant because we think there's so much water ice beneath its surface. So I asked Kirsten Goschalk what she thought.
Well, no, not life as we know it. Because while there's nothing ruling out exotic forms of life that we just can't understand, that, you know, doesn't need the things that we know life needs on Earth, we can't rule it out that that exists on Neptune. But life like on Earth probably couldn't exist there. Because Neptune is extremely cold and it's also got a lot of pressure on its surface. So it's cold, obviously, because it's so far away from the sun, so it doesn't get much sunlight at all. And it's also much bigger than the Earth. As we know, Neptune is one of the gas planets. It's very, very large. So that means that as you get deeper into those gaseous layers, you actually get a lot more pressure there. So humans certainly would have a very hard time surviving on Neptune. In fact, some scientists have been doing experiments and they've determined that it's quite possible there's oceans of liquid diamond on Neptune because the pressure is so high and the temperatures get so high as you get higher and higher pressure that there might be molten diamond oceans, which would be an amazing sight to see, but not necessarily the best place to harbour life.
Why is that pressure so high on Neptune?
Because it's such a massive planet, it's got so much stuff and so much weight, and that weight all has a lot of gravity that pulls it in all together. And as you go through those layers of gas, the gravity gets stronger and stronger and pulls things together tighter and tighter, so you have this massive pressure.
So I know some of these gassy planets do have rocky moons. Could they be a more promising place for life?
They sure could. In fact, we think there's a pretty good chance there might be some kind of microbial tiny little life somewhere else in the solar system, maybe around Jupiter, Europa, a moon around Jupiter that's mostly ice. We believe that there is a liquid ocean under that ice that's interacting with the rocky core of the moon and might have some life there. There's also some moons around Saturn that might have liquid water on them and therefore might have some life. And there's also Triton around Neptune. So coming back to whether Neptune could support life, the moon Triton around Neptune has ice and rock and it might have liquid water, so there might be some microbial life there. So if we're hoping to send, I think NASA's planning a mission to Europa to have a bit of a dig around and see if we can find anything there and see what is actually under the ice. But obviously that's many years in the future, because not only does it take a while to plan these things, it obviously takes a while to get out to Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune to even investigate.
In the past, I guess astronomers have had this concept of the habitable zone, this area around a sun-like star where habitable planets could be, and it always rather looked like it was the orbit of the Earth because Mars was thought too far away and Venus thought too close to the sun. It seemed astronomers are now thinking about much more diverse environments as being potential habitats for life.
Definitely. So the reasoning behind the habitable zone that was pretty much where the Earth is was because we had to be close enough to the star, our sun, but other planets obviously around their stars, to have liquid water. So getting enough energy and heat and light from the sun for ice to melt and us to have liquid water, and also be a big enough planet to have an atmosphere to protect that water and have a biosphere or something like that. But there are other ways that something can be heated. So you look at some of the moons around Jupiter and Saturn, and they're what we call tidally heated. So the interaction between the large giant gas planet and the moon means that it flexes and changes as it goes around. And this actually happens to the Earth with our moon as well. We have the tides with the water, as everyone well knows. If they go to the beach, they see high tide and low tide. But our Earth also deforms up to about 40 centimetres with the moon going around it. And so that happens in far more extreme ways when you've got such a big planet and these moons like Europa, and they get stretched and deformed a little bit, and that causes this thing called tidal heating. So you can be quite far away from the sun and still be warm enough to have liquid water. So the idea of this habitable zone being defined as just when you're close enough to the star to have enough heat is kind of being thrown out, because there are lots of different other ways we can become warm enough to have liquid water.
My thanks to Kirsten Goschalk, who's based at ICWA in Western Australia. That's all we've got time for this month. Next time, I'll be taking a trip to the seaside to team up with the Royal Astronomical Society and bring you a special edition of Naked Astronomy from the UK's National Astronomy Meeting in St Andrews in Scotland. If you can't wait that long and would like to keep up with the latest news from the conference as it happens, you'll be able to pick up Daily Digest podcasts from the 2nd to the 6th of July, and which will be available for download from the Naked Scientists special podcasts feed at thenakedscientist.com/specials. And of course, in the meantime, if you've got a question you would like us to answer, you can get in touch by sending an email to astronomy@thenakedscientists.com. Naked Astronomy is produced by me, Dominic Ford, and comes to you from Cambridge University with support from the Science and Technology Facilities Council.